Hello, this is Phenobarbital, and you're listening to The Tony Soto Show.
And I am Tony Soto, and what a fabulous introduction by Phenobarbital. Thank you so much for coming on to The Tony Soto Show. This is your first time here, yes?
Yes, thank you so much. We did one other thing together at the Mom Network, where we watched the Drag Race All-Stars finale live
we did. That was the one of the few things that I've been allowed to do on that that network. And I might have done Sloppy what? Seconds once, but that's true. And that, what season was that? Because we had a good time. You are you're a bit dark.
Yes. Well, I just went light, but that was the season with Shea Coulee and Jujubee, and it was the all winners.
Oh, the All-Stars.
Wait, wasn't it? No. Was it All-Stars, all winners? Yes, it was All-Stars, all winners. So it was the one season Jujubee wasn't on.
It was
Shea Coulee and then the rest. She's the only one I can remember. Oh, and Raja.
I'm gonna be honest with you about this show. I don't watch it really unless I'm getting paid to watch it, and I'm watching this season because I'm getting paid, but I'm not doing any more, so I don't know that I'll see who wins, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm not at the bar, I'm not really gonna watch it. But now, Fina, you're an East Coast gal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's problematic.
Yes. pilgrimatic.
Yeah, y'all have this. You have all this "we were first" mentality out there on the East Coast, don't you?
Well, I am a direct descendant of a horrible person from the Mayflower.
You are.
My middle name is Miles. I'm a direct descendant of Miles Standish, who was the captain of the guard on the Mayflower.
You know, you do have a very, your name does have caucasity. You know what I mean? Yeah. When I read your government name, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. Well, we're the other side of the family also comes from Austria. So it's, you know, we got the full well-rounded, you know, I always say pilgrim blood is like, you know, I can survive a cold winter, which is, you know, what we're doing here in LA.
It has been unseasonably cold. But honestly, if our climate change involves it raining more, I guess I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But how long have you been in LA?
So I came here in December of 2016. So 7 years.
Now, were you doing drag on the East Coast, or did you start? When did you pick up drag, Miss Fina?
I picked up drag in 2001.
Mm.
Well, I picked up actual drag in 2001. I was cross-dressing before that, you know. I was a goth kid in junior high, but like actually performing was 2001.
Oh my god. So you're a year older than me when it comes, because I started in 2002 is when I did drag. But I was also a little bit of a gothy raver kid in my day too. So she had the smoky eyes, you know. I mean, she was drawing stars on her cheeks, you know.
Oh yes. All that.
You get it.
Very familiar.
And were you always Phenobarbital? Was that always the name?
No. So it started off as Gina Talia. Isn't that? But you have to remember, this is like 22 years ago or 23 years ago.
Yeah, this things were so more fun ago. There.
Things were more fun, and things weren't as played out as they are now.
Yeah.
So
like
it moved on.
The pun was like respected then.
Yeah. It moved on from that to Luscious Dakota.
Oh my God. She went through a few changes.
Yes.
And what was Luscious Dakota like?
Luscious Dakota was, she had black hair that I would slick up and put one of those black Madonna ponytails on, like with the braid.
Yeah.
And like, so mind you, I'm from Western Massachusetts originally. And so my drag family was all like, I was the only white person in my drag family.
Okay.
I was part of the House of Zinfandel. They called me White Zin. And so I'm just going to say that they may have like taught me some ways of painting myself that were a little bit more ethnic. Maybe I had like a very like skinny brow, and you know, maybe I had like certain attributes of, you know, like Spanish resemblance. But that's where I learned how to do drag. That's where I learned how to like blend my hair into my wigs, and like, you know, I was learning from these people, trans people, but that whole
Sure. You learn from others before you take it on to yourselves.
I'm grateful for that family.
Absolutely. You want to be grateful for a multi-ethnic family these days. Exactly. So when did she become Fina?
So Fina came around maybe like 2003. So my friend at the time, Dave, his mom was taking this drug called phenobarbital. And he was like, that's such a cool name. Like, cause I think I was at the time, I can't remember exactly. I think I was trying to change up the persona a little bit. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a little bit more like of a rock girl. I was at the time, I was doing a lot of like, you know, Unspeakable Joy club hits.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be a little bit more, just something different. So he's like, change it to this. And I was like, oh, I'll change the spelling of it. And of course, like in my mind, F-E-N-A almost sounded like Fina, which is a Spanish word at the time I was told for like, you know, beautiful or fine. Fina.
Uh-huh.
I'm white, so I might be pronouncing it wrong. But at the time, this is how it was described to me. So that's why I spell it that way. And then Barbie tall, spelled like a tall Barbie.
Oh, that's funny. See, I thought it was just a drug. I thought you were just covered in like a drug.
It's all three. Yeah, it's supposed to be all three. It's supposed to be like, you know, this is an acid trip, but she looks like a Barbie. And, you know, also bringing in glamour, attempting to bring in glamour. But yeah, that's when she was born then.
I always say what I love about Fina is you don't have to go to Tijuana to see a drag queen use a mic that isn't plugged in. I love that. Like that's so now I get it. Oh my God. It all makes so much sense now because that's a very Latin thing is like a drag queen holding a microphone that doesn't work. I just always say it's for the girls who can't dance.
Same. Yes. I mean, I learned it from this queen in Boston. Her name was Melinda Wilson. She still exists. She's incredible. I think she is the oldest living drag performer in Boston. But she was incredible, and she taught me how to. I really learned from her using the mic, and it's so cool because you're right. It is. Well, it disguises a couple of things. It disguises your inability to dance. And you can use it as like a comedy prop.
Absolutely.
To distract from like, you know, if the number is not going too well, you can kind of play with it and, you know, distract from your bad performance.
Now, but next to your drag, you are also the gal behind the hats of a lot of famous drag queens and even lesser, and then even me. You reset a lot of my hair. You are the one who does Trixie and Katya's hair. Did you go to hair school?
No. I never went to cosmetology school. I had friends that went to cosmetology school. I don't know why I didn't go to cosmo school. But I learned from my friends who went.
So oh my God, you're like those people at the park that go next to the yoga classes.
Yeah, I'm like watching like...
You're at the gym. Classes. You're at the gym. I am the muscle guy for not the right reasons. No, I just want to make sure my fucking stance is right.
Exactly, exactly.
I love that though. Because bitch, that paid off.
Hello.
Yeah, girl, you do a lot of people's hair. Like, if you're watching fucking drag queens that have been on that fucking game show, you're probably seeing a hat or two. You know, it's so funny because Shay hit me up once and was like, hey, I'm going to be in L.A. and I need my hair reset real quick. And I was like, immediately, I was like, see if Fina can do it. Like, Fina, fucking, if she can do it, she'll fucking do it. And she does it right.
It was wonderful. I did. I've done a couple for her. She was wonderful.
Yeah. So like what got you, how did you get involved with Trixie and Katya?
So I've known Katya for about 2 decades, and in Boston, she worked at this place called Dorothy's Boutique, and she would often be at the wig counter and I would come in and we would just hang out for like hours. And I was doing like characters at the time. I was a big Madonna impersonator, and I loved, you know, they never had the exact hair I needed. So I always had to get something and kind of like mess with it myself. So I kind of learned through other people and through a lot of trial and error. And I would always kind of like get a wig and like kind of fuss with it myself and like try to color it or do shit to it. So when I moved to LA with Katya, we were living together, and I was looking for work, and she was like going on tour, and she's like, well, I have all these wigs and we're doing this new show called and you just like, you want to just like do something to them? So I teased them and styled them, and I kind of watched a couple of YouTube tutorials on just like basic roller setting and things like that. And when she came back, I had a whole table of wigs for her to wear. And she was like,
wait a
so
minute.
Gagged.
Really?
Yeah.
So you took what you learned from some people who went to cosmetology school, and then you moved here with Katya post Drag Race for her.
Yeah.
And then you looked at a couple YouTubes, and now I pay you to style my hair.
Well, there was a lot. Like, so Katya came back. She saw the work. She was like, well, fuck, you should have been doing this the whole time. So she invested in me. She gave me like a couple $100 to go out and get better products, get better styling equipment. And from there, it was literally like kind of learning as the industry went along, because the industry has grown in the past 7 years in different ways, and there's different styles. And like, I think the thing that I feel like I've contributed is when she would give me these hairs for, and she'd be like, okay, do whatever you want. I want updos. I want something up and I want it off my neck. So we would do all sorts of crazy shit. And, you know, I was doing also like hair sculptures and like adding like a bird and like, you know, all sorts of like crazy, stupid shit. I did the braided hand. I did another hand with a phone on it. And then I feel like that's my contribution to drag.
Girl, I'm telling you, I do not feel any worry when I drop a wig off with you or Alexis Bevels. Like,
oh yeah, like, Alexis is incredible.
Yeah, so like, and between you two, I'm like, I am happy with, because I don't really know what I want, but I do know that I want it off my neck, or I want it to be sculpted or like sprayed to fucking shit so I don't have to get it reset constantly because, you know, she's on a budget, blah 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 blah. But always,
that's why it's good to have like someone else who like constantly does drag themselves do it, because they know like, yeah, okay, this is how I would need this to sit for it to be like comfortable, wearable, yada yada yada. Like, I remember the first time and only time, I think I've only in my, before I moved to Boston or before I moved to LA, I had 2 wigs styled for me. One, when I saw the picture of it, I was like, oh, I love it. Everything about it. Could you just like move it off of my eye so it doesn't rest on my lash?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one, I forget, someone in New York did something, but the front of it was like human hair and the back was synthetic. And it was like, I just remember being like so disappointed with like the things that I was given. I was like, I just have to learn how to do this shit myself. You know what I mean? Like I can't really sew that well. Like I'm not like a great, I can do a bodysuit and a little wiggle dress and like, you know, nothing fancy. So if it's something fancy, I have to send out for it.
Mm-hmm.
But hair, I was like, okay, I can kind of mold this. It's a little forgiving and, you know, and it's fun for me.
Yeah. And girl, like and you wear your product on your head when you are out performing, like, you know, that you've done it. Like you can be like, ooh, I really, really like that. Now, so you have been a game show adjacent for some time. Do you audition for the game show? Do you want to be on the game show?
Let me tell you about my, I was driving.
Oh, listeners, she just had to like, she just had to settle in, listeners. Just so you know, she had to settle in after that question.
I was driving in my car with Jujubee and a couple other people when she got the phone call. So I've been around it since then. And that's when it, like, I remember season one and I remember the audition process for season one. And I remember the audition process for season two.
And it hasn't really changed much since then.
There was a couple of years where it got really fierce. But I started auditioning season three.
Oh, wow.
And so season three came around. I auditioned, didn't make it. But when they had like this blooper reel of like girls that had tried out for season three, and I made it into like the blooper reel.
Were you one of the, wait, was that when they did the open call for in LA?
No, that was season four.
Oh, okay.
I believe that was season four. I could be wrong, but I believe.
Oh, girl, they all blend together. Who cares?
I don't even remember.
At this point, it's like America's Next Top Model. You know, it's like.
So I've been auditioning since then. There were 2 years where I didn't audition because I just literally was not in a good place financially to do it, nor did I have like the timing or anything like that. But ever since, I want to say ever since season five, I've auditioned every year.
Oh, really? Still? Like, you're still doing it?
This year, I put in a tape and I was like, you know what? I gave them one last audition as a skinny person, as a skinny. And that's it. I can't afford to keep doing this without any sort of response, any sort of like feedback.
Not even a psych eval?
No, never once.
Holy shit. Well, good segue to the skinny, because there's been some change.
Full change.
And ladies and gentlemen, she is not an Ozempi baby. No. What did you do to drop so much weight, and how much have you lost so far?
So what I did makes Ozempic look like baby aspirin.
Truthfully. And honestly, here's the thing. Still, like, there's still complications, can be complications with yours. And Ozempic is completely unstudied for weight loss. So both are risky.
It's like, in June of 2023, I had gastric sleeve surgery. And what that is they remove 80% of your stomach. And it was a year process of getting consultations, having to go through a whole program and speaking to specialists. I did therapy, the whole nine yards.
Oh, Jesus, really?
Yes, I did therapy on my own to like prepare myself just because.
Oh, it's not a requirement. It's not like with like.
No, a psych evaluation is a requirement, but not therapy. So I did therapy on my own just to like. Because it's such a huge procedure, I wanted to make sure that whatever I was doing, I was like going about it the right way. I wanted to like make sure that it was going to stick.
Now, were you always large?
No. So I started gaining weight when I was like 20. So I was a bigger kid. Lost like a ton of weight in late junior high, early high school. And I kept it off until I was about 26. And then it took probably 5 years for it to really start creeping up on me.
Uh-huh.
And the heaviest that I got to my surgery day, I was 377 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And I'm 6'3", so it's like, you know, it kind of disperses. But it took a while for that to,
you
like,
can hold, creep up on me. Yeah, at that, I mean, I'm 6'3", like, the biggest I think I've let myself get was, like, 245. And people would be like, oh, you never really seemed big. And I was like, it's because I'm tall, but trust me, I was.
Yeah, it, like, disperses throughout the body.
Yeah.
So, to date, I've lost 160 pounds.
Wow.
It's wild. I'm also 39 years old, so, like, your body does not always, like, bounce back. So in the next year, I'll be going in for another chip chop to, like, have my human skin purse made.
Oh, see, I'm wondering about this. Do you feel like there was some gradualness to it, or did you feel like it dropped off?
It comes in waves, but it's, I was expecting to lose 100 pounds in a year.
Uh-huh.
Oh. I was not expecting to lose this much in 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
So the craziest part was having to get a new wardrobe. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like everything.
Literally everything. But then the stuff that I got in, like, the late fall now doesn't fit me. So I had to get, like, new stuff. And the stuff now, I feel like I've kind of plateaued. And I feel like this is where we're going to be at. And I started going to the gym and, like, gaining back muscle. Because when you lose it so quickly, your body's in starvation mode for the first year. So you're basically, like, your muscles kind of atrophy in a way. And so building back muscle and just, like, strength training. So I don't do any cardio because I don't need to lose any weight. I need to gain back strength, just literally the strength to, like, be in heels.
Yeah.
And be in drag. Because, like, drag is, like, I've gotten back into, like, you know, skinny clothes and stuff like that, and, like, high heels and, like, you know, wearing stuff that's a little bit more painful, that's not as painful anymore.
Uh-huh.
I guess I could say. But yeah, even all my drag, I had to get new drag, new everything, new shoes, new all of it.
So I'm wondering, because there's this thing going around on TikTok right now where this guy, I think he might be a DJ or whatever, but he was saying, like, labels shouldn't have to cater to plus size people, whatever. And I guess he's saying that as a farmer fat. In my head, because I'm problematic, I'm like, ugh, that's giving, like, loose skin. And because, you know, because he was like, I lost a lot of weight and, you know, now I think this way. And I'm like, so, I mean, dropping the weight is one thing, which is great. But, like, ultimately, there's other things that you need to take care of to make yourself feel good. And
yeah,
what is the skin procedure going to be like?
So I've already, like, kind of started the process of talking to my doctors about it. Cause, like, that was something that I noticed. I was like, okay, even if I never got a skin removal surgery, I would be so happy with where I am now compared to where I was a year ago. But I'm like, I've come this far. I'm going to be 40 this summer. Let's go into my next 40 years. Or 15 years, whatever I have left. And
I was like, yeah, you're being awfully liberal, girl.
And let's just do it up, you know, do it out. And, like, the procedure that I am considering and talking to my doctors about is a tummy tuck, essentially, where they remove the excess skin on your stomach, because that's really where I feel like I have, like, kind of an issue, is just my stomach area. Everything else can be, like, built back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joe Biden, build back better. And they will, like, remove, like, the excess skin on your stomach, and they pull it down and tighten it and suture it, and then you're kind of, like, left to heal for a while. And then
yeah, girl, I feel like that's like being laid up. But you know what? I always see, like the moment you start losing weight, here's how you gauge if someone is supposed to be skinny. And I think that you're supposed to be skinny because your head fits your skinny body. You know what I mean? There are certain people who were big Oprah. And once she dropped all the weight, you're like, oh my God, your head is so big.
Like his bobblehead.
Yeah. It belongs on a bigger body, but like yours is proportionate.
Now, I always felt that way.
Now with drag though, like you're like, I mean, I know that you had to do a whole change or whatever, but like, truthfully, it's like you were carrying around and, you know, a joke about you not being able to dance because you can't, but like you're active and you move, you know what I mean? Like you were, it's not like you were one of these girls who like had to like sit at a bar stool until you were called on stage. No shade to those girls, but like, you know what I mean? Like you were.
I always felt like I could be like in my head. I was like, oh, I feel like I'm kind of light on my feet.
I mean, you walked around in fucking heels, girl. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you were out there fucking hoofing it just like the rest of us. So
I feel like now I'm a little baby giraffe learning how to walk again.
Yeah.
Because
it's so great to see your fucking body transformation and like what you're doing with it, with padding and what, you know, and your new shape. Fina's like new shape. It's like, it looks good, girl. It looks good.
Thank you.
I mean, it's giving it's fucking game show. I don't understand. Listen, this is what I don't understand. Here's the thing. Here's a clown who's been in it for a fucking while. For a long time, a long while. Like, she could fucking come out there and pull out some things. And trust me, she'll say something that fucking America will hate. I promise you, she will. She'll fucking, and she won't even know she does it. She'll be one of those, like,
let me tell you, this season,
problematic bitches.
This season, howling at everything Plain Jane said. Howling.
Yeah, I mean, I wish that she, but she's just a mean girl. You know what I mean? And this is the thing too. It's like you have a punchline. She never had a punchline. Like it was giving spectrum. You know what I mean?
Her jawline was the
punchline. Yeah. Yeah. It was like, wow. Yeah. Why is a square reading me? But when I hear you on a microphone, like I'm just like, oh, I mean, you have an idea of comedy and timing in your head. Were you a theater girl?
I was. Well,
yeah. Fucking fag.
So I was a theater person. I will say this. I went to school for performing arts. My high school experience was a performing arts school, my last 2 years of high school. But before that, when I was like a kid, when I was a fat kid, I did go to theater camp maybe twice. Auditioned for roles, never got them. I remember I was young, elementary school, fat kid. We were doing Charlotte's Web. I auditioned to be Wilbur, the pig. I wanted that role so bad. They did not give me the role of that pig, even though I was the fat kid. They gave me the role of the even fatter pig at the end of the story who wins the blue ribbon for being the fattest pig. And I didn't have any lines.
Wait, is that a character in the fucking script?
Yes, there is a character at the end who's at the county fair who's like this giant fat pig who wins a blue ribbon for being the fattest pig. I had no lines. I literally crawled across the stage with a pig nose on. And I think about that so much. And it's so like, that's so traumatizing to a little fat kid.
Listen, as much as I loved being a thespian in high school, there were some traumatic moments or people who are, it was mean. It was mean in a weird kind of way. You know what I mean?
Gave me a thick skin though.
Very true. Listen, I always say I'm from the 90s where we were bullied to our face. You know, it's not this online bullshit. So, there's a little more of an edge. You know, I openly boo people who get bad bingos at bingo.
Love.
I'll boo you. I swear I'll boo you if you come up and your bingo is wrong. More people need to be booed.
Thank you.
Well, listen, I just have three more things, Fina. Just three more things. Which, as mentioned, I wrote on note cards in Sharpie. So bear with me. Okay. Recently in the news, the eclipse. Oh my God, the fucking eclipse. Everyone was risking blindness for this eclipse. News anchors across America were crying over this eclipse, talking about what an emotional experience it was. What is something stupid that you cried to? Something stupid that you've cried to, Fina. And I want to know this because I want to believe that you have some kind of a heart and something makes you emotional.
Well, I recently went to see Madonna, and I don't think it's stupid to cry to this, but I did cry at a few sections. She has this whole like AIDS tribute montage, and she's like singing to like all of these giant posters of people that we've lost. And I think
is she doing Live to Tell?
Yes.
Yeah. No, yeah. That would get me.
That gets me. And sometimes on Instagram, when you're scrolling and you see like an animal thing,
anything with an animal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you know what gets me, truthfully? And I fucking hate it because it's such American propaganda, is Soldiers Home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
if they're hot.
Like parents hug it. I don't fetishize the military sexually. I try to keep it, but that's why I hate so much that I like those.
Hot soldiers. I get a little jealous of like the kid that they get to hug.
Recently, at a gay sports bar, I heard a straight guy say, and I quote, "Wait, they come to the bar and turn the games onto the small TV just to watch gays that need therapy? Give me three reasons Drag Race is still good."
There are people behind the cameras that have been there for a long time that actually have roots in the drag community, and they do poke through. So there are still some very good roots.
That's one, Fina.
RuPaul
looking, taking forever, Fina.
RuPaul looking incredible.
Okay, one more, then, Fina. This is a long time then, for just three for a show that's been on TV for so fucking long, Fina.
And then I will say that financially it does benefit me.
That a girl. And it does. And see, that's the thing too. So it's like, all right, girl, you don't want me on your fucking show? I'm still going to fucking do things for your fucking bitches and take your coin.
Hello.
If it has to be fucking third party, I don't give a shit.
Seriously. And most of them, like 90% of them, don't even get to, like, you know, go on to really make any money in the end anyway. So like, what's the draw anymore?
That's the truth. It's like, listen, you don't know, you're going to spend a fortune to go on it. And hope that you get top five. Hope. And five is even still kind of like, last question. Cicadas are about to infest flyover USA, Fina. Have you heard about the cicadas?
Oh, I have.
You know, they fucking burrow for about 17 years and then they pop back up. Now, when they are flying around, they're fucking, Fina. Oh, yeah, they're fucking. And they're getting an STD, Fina. And they're turning into zombies, Fina. And then when they fly around, they are the most aggressive pissers in all of nature. That's right. They're flying around as zombies pissing. Relatable or not?
I did live in Hollywood for a couple years, so I am used to getting pissed on by flying zombies. You know, often they would set fire to furniture outside of my apartment building, but...
Oh, girl. So one time I was walking up to the Albertsons, just right at my street. And as I was walking around the corner to go in, a guy with his cock out was walking, like he had to have walked out of the store with his cock out and just was pissing freely. And I had to like dodge it. It was an impressive penis though. I have to say, you know, because you look, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you have to.
You have to
look. That's like the one benefit.
Because I was like, what kind of creep are you that you're doing this? I'm like, oh, that's a nice dick.
At least there's that. You have to have the small joys in life.
Yeah. I don't run from a water sports situation if you're fully hydrated. You know what I mean? I'm no prude. Fina, did you have a good time on the show?
I had a wonderful time.
You know, I'd like to say that, you know, Fina didn't understand the assignment because she's a dummy. She should have been here live in my studio apartment. But this has been a fabulous Zoom interview because she is too skinny and I do not want to take a photo with her. Fina, tell us where we can find you on the social media and if you have any gigs that are happening.
So I'm on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok as at Fina Barbital, FenaBarbitall. And currently I am, oh God, what do I even have? I'll be at the Netflix is a Joke brunch on the 12th of May, hosted by Trixie Mattel, unfortunately also with Meatball. I am fully available for the Complete Girlfriend experience, and in calls are encouraged.
Oh, well, what a fun little episode we did today. If you like me, you should, because you're listening. I am the Tony Soto Show on TikTok and Instagram. If you want to see what I'm doing in drag, it's Tony Soto Productions on Instagram. All right. I'll be back again next week. Goodbye.
Bye.